Opportunity for us to spend a little bit of time with our legislative team, and you've already heard from Mr. Sears, so why don't we turn on the other microphone, Travis Dunlap. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Thank you for having us today.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a beautiful day, and I've been telling people I'm going to have all my windows open all day because tomorrow and Sunday, I guess, are going to be cloudy. So
we could get some of that liquid sunshine, I think. Yeah.
I like that term. Thank you. Liquid sunshine. Let's pray for it. They definitely need it in western Oklahoma, and a lot of attention was given to that. I know our pastor of the week in the house made a point every day to pray for those who are being affected by the fires in the western part of our state. So, well, I wasn't expecting to go first, but I'm happy to.
I'm sure you have a privilege to defer if you choose.
But no, well, what I'll do is I'll just run down some bullet point items of things that we're getting done. These are encouraging things, and we're just working on these, you know, nonstop, even as kind of broader discussions are going on. But this week, the Senate passed a House bill, which is a Child Care Bill of Rights. And that's important because it's making sure that children in DHS custody know exactly what rights they have when they're dealing with the process. So sometimes if those rights aren't delineated in order of importance, things can get lost and priorities can be shifted. And so that was a really good thing to move forward. This helps attorneys and judges and child advocates know exactly what they need to be doing in the order in which they need to be doing them to protect the children in custody. So that passed, and that's a really good thing moving forward. We had a criminal justice reform pass this week. Mm-hmm. Now, this has been a two-year process. There were several bills that basically went together, partner bills or follow-up bills, what have you. And so this week, and I believe the governor already signed House Bill 2281, and this has to do with property crimes. They're trying to make adjustments to what those property crimes punishments are. And in particular, this would help with the female incarceration rate is what the numbers tell us. And so I believe the governor already signed that. That's the result of some long-term work that began with the task force that the governor put together on criminal justice reform. And so that's moving through that's through the process. So that's great. A human trafficking bill was signed, and so this is an encouraging thing. Of course, people know Oklahoma is called America's Corner, which only makes sense if you consider the number of interstates that go through.
There are some investigative reports. I think it was a 60-minute report, basically at the junction there just on the northeast side of Oklahoma City at the intersection of I-44 and I-35 and I-40 all kind of coming together there with the truck stop lizards, for lack of a better term, where young girls are trafficked from one semi to another.
Yeah, and so what this bill will do is it will take some curriculum and some training from the group called Truckers Against Trafficking.
Well familiar with them. They're a partner of Crime Stoppers USA.
Exactly. And so that will take that education and get it into our systems so that people are aware and are able to help facilitate officers, our anti-trafficking units in that. I didn't intend to include this as part of the information, but we have two trafficking kind of agencies in Oklahoma, one within the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics and one within the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. And so both of those organizations are, of course, have their work cut out for them completely. Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics tends to do more of just the pure trafficking enforcement, and they are a little bit better equipped to do that. But everybody, from what I hear, is just chasing after these traffickers and have their hands full all the time. So, and then another bill that
just as an aside, I'll refer people to the Polaris Project. That's a national organization that keeps track of the state of trafficking laws in the state of Oklahoma. And obviously this is a new addition, but last I checked the Polaris Project, we still have quite a bit of work to do, comparatively speaking.
Yes, well, and maybe your listeners might remember that I've been trying to work on the prevention side of that as well. Part of my prevention legislation I've been working on over multiple years, and nothing's happening with it this year, but has some aid going to those agencies working out with the enforcement issue in human trafficking. So, but at least we have at least an encouraging small step in the right direction. Still a lot of work to do. And then the last thing, I don't mean to take all the time, the last thing I had on my list was House Bill 2932. The Senate passed it. I think it awaits the governor's signature, but it is work requirements for Medicaid. And the senator might have some more insight into that. But I think these are one of these reforms that we just need to keep pushing forward on behalf of the taxpayers in Oklahoma to make sure that the tax dollars are being spent the way they're supposed to be spent, and that we are combining that with mindset of personal responsibility rather than the mindset of entitlement. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Sir, good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Charlie. And I will just spin right off of what Representative Dunlap was talking about. We did pass a Medicaid reform bill with a work requirement this week, but want to reassure everyone that all this does is say that if you are between the ages of 19 and 64, you do not have a disability, you are not pregnant, you are not a parent responsible for a child six or under, or the caretaker of a person like a developmentally disabled adult child. That would fit into the exemption. There are quite a few exemptions, but it says that otherwise, if you are receiving Medicaid services, you need to be contributing back some way. 20 hours of paid work, volunteer work, be involved in some sort of job training. There are a series of things you could do. So it doesn't kick people off Medicaid unless they absolutely refuse to try to do these things. So it's a modest reform, but it may affect about 8,000 people who could decide that, you know, a full-time job is probably better than being told that you can't stay on Medicaid because you can't because you're not meeting a work requirement. Anyway, it's a good step, and spent a lot of time debating that. Also on criminal justice reform, we talk about incarceration rates, and we passed four or five. One on extending the length of time you can be on electronic monitoring, you know, so that we can get people out and back into the community earlier. Has to do with now turning our attention to mental health. A lot of these folks that are incarcerated have started out with mental health issues. So let's get people back into the community. Let's now start to turn to funding more mental health services. So I believe the Senate certainly is going to pivot next year and focus more on that. And I'm going to leave it for Representative Sears to talk about the budget, just to say I know that when we caucus on Monday, it will be the first time that we throw spreadsheets up on the board. And as a caucus, we now discuss what our finance and appropriations team is negotiating with the House and the governor. And yes, we think we are getting very close to the end of the budget process. And then just on a high note for the week, we had the Boys and Girls Clubs there, and Representative Dunlap and I got to go to the luncheon where the finalists gave their speeches, and they announced it. Of course, you did a very good package this morning on Kismet Oak Tree from our Boys and Girls Club winning for the second time in a row. Just incredible stories, always upbeat to be with the Boys and Girls Clubs, and they were all in the Capitol visiting their legislators. And in fact, I have a bill I'm authoring in the Senate that will be of benefit to them. So we had the kids be sure and tell their legislators how important the club activities are to them. But that's it for me. I may follow up after Representative Sears, but I know he wants to do a big budget update.
Let me chime in real quick. That Senate bill the Senator's talking about is Senate Bill 809, and we're trying as best as we can to get it through the House process. So if you... Oh, 907. Ooh, messed that up. 907.
And, both could be interested in reading, but only one is what
so
you're
So if any listeners out there can help us get that through, give us a call and help us get that through. It's an important bill.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate that update. Good morning.
Morning, Charlie, and thank you for always allowing us to come to the radio show. And a big shout-out to Phillips 66 that sponsors the show. We really appreciate that. Just a quick update on the budget. It is getting extremely close. Quite frankly, we're just down to minute details of one of them is classes for higher education, not alternative, what do they call that? Concurrent enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
There's four different numbers out there, and we were just hammering out those numbers and a couple others. The good news is we'll have a budget that we haven't had in quite some time. We plan on no cuts to any state agency.
As a matter of fact, an AP story with the budget chairman from the House inferred that there could be some modest gains.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Well, quite frankly, they'll show gains in numerous agencies simply due to the raises. I mean, education alone will show a 19% increase in funding, but again, there's a massive teacher pay raise there. And then other state employees, and then so there will be gains in numerous programs. But the good news is we're not cutting, and which leads into the good news. The economy is doing quite well. Our growth is doing extremely well. I just making a prediction, by the end of June, I truly, when the end of the fiscal year, I truly believe that we could have a $300 million. When I say surplus, it'll be utilized in the budget, but again, waiting for us to help us. And then the numerous things that we've done, the 51 measures that we've done last year and in special session, the tax increases that was passed and the governor signed, we really have about a $7.8 billion budget. So that's the good news in regards to our budget and the economy coming back very, very strong. And again, that's just something we can be very excited about. The other thing I just we're talking about is having early adjournment. That doesn't mean we'll be out of there next Friday, but I truly believe that we will be gone before our constitutional requirement of the last Friday in May, and rightfully so. Now, there may be some policy bills left on the table that we didn't pass, but maybe a policy bill of just changing some language from the tax commission, or just pick an agency that could be waiting on us for next year. I say waiting on those that come back next year. I'm very pleased about that. We do need to wrap it up and get home, and there are people out there. The people have spoken. There's a lot of races that's going to be going on, and allow those members that are in a race, give them an opportunity to be out there and talk to people and tell them why they want to continue to be in their state rep or their state senator.
I understand that a wind bill was supposed to have been heard yesterday.
That is correct, and I was going to close on that. I'm very excited about that process. That has been a journey. That takes take three radio shows to go through that journey. But what we have now is we were going to do a repeal of the wind credits, a zero emission, which is if we'd have did that and the governor would have signed it, we would have picked up $74 million of the taxpayers' money. But that ain't going to happen. The wind power and others came to us and they wanted to cut a deal at the last minute just before we run that bill. And now then on Monday we'll run a bill to put a production tax on wind. It'll be all new construction. It'll be $1 a kilowatt. It'll start out about 9 million, grow to 14, and then when fully implemented, when I say implemented, with what we have projected coming online, wind farms or wind facilities, it could bring in a steady $24-25 million a year. It's only on new facilities. I'm a little frustrated with it, but I will support it. But my frustration is I think it should include all of the existing facilities, but that was not the compromise. But anyway, I believe that'll pass in the House. I think the Senate will have a little heartburn with some of the bill, but hopefully we will work out those differences. And I'm excited, as I said. Wind needs to be at the table. Wind needs to be part of the solution. And I'm very excited that this could very well happen.
Okay, thank you very much. We have time. If there is some other, I'll release you to the Friday Forum or wherever else you happen to be headed. So, I guess somebody gets the last word.
Quick. I want the listeners to know I will have a guest here next Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be Leslie Osborne. She did not run for the House Representative, but she is running for the office of Labor Commissioner in our great state, and I've asked her to come to Bartlesville to meet and greet. She'll be at the forum, Rotary, etc. And I am going to let her talk on our radio show, my part, next week. So I just want everybody to know I'll have a guest.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much, and thanks to Phillip 66. And that's a Capital Call on AM 1400 K1.
At Phillip 66, we think pride might look a lot like our newly upgraded stations.